You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Just after 9 o'clock, 514-790-0800, the number to call for the Home Improvement Show for some free advice, courtesy of Walter Assey from Renovco. Walter, good morning. Oh, are you on mute, Walter?
Good morning. Okay. How are you?
Good. We have you now. Loud and clear. Very good. I was going to say, I wish we had better weather this weekend, but we're going to have to put up with the rain for the weekend.
You know, it's a great day to check your sump pumps. It's a great day to check your basements. The ground is still frozen, so you're going to have a lot of melting today. And if you have any issues in your basement, foundation cracks, windows that are not well sealed or well caulked, or window wells that are not well done, that's the day you're going to need to check them. So go there often. Catching a flood or water damage at its beginning stage is always a good thing. Well, it's never a good thing to have a flood or a water damage, but at least, you know, better seeing it when it's first coming in rather than when you're having 6 or 7 inches of water in your basement.
Absolutely.
The other thing, when I say checking sump pumps, Ken, it's very important that we check many things about a sump pump, but people just go down and look at the pit. You want to make sure that it's actually operational, and you want to make sure that outside drains are not frozen. A lot of times we get calls and you know, the sump pump is working, but it's backing up in the pit. It's because your drain in the other side is frozen. It's probably blocked,
right,
badly slanted, and so on and so forth. These are the things we need to check. And, you know, now the spring thaw is a very touchy time of the year.
514-790-0800. If you want some free advice, Walter Assey will handle all the calls this morning. We're going to start with a gentleman from Laval. Warner, is that you?
Yes, I am on the phone, yes.
Yes, good morning. You're on the air, too.
Okay, good.
What's your question for Warner, for Walter?
For Walter.
Yes.
Yes, okay. It's about our carport, which is, of course, attached to the house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I noticed already last year or even the year before that especially the first post, supporting post, is leaning from the top to the outside. And I measured it. It's about 2, maybe 2.5 inches difference between the top and the bottom. And that's really my question. Is this anything to be concerned about?
Yes. I'm going to ask you a few questions first. How large is this post? Is it 6x6, 8x8?
No, they're like always two boards together, like 2.5x5 inches. So in other words, it's 5x10. And I have 3 posts like that resting on cement footing, you know?
Okay, so they are wood posts.
Yes.
They are. Okay. Now, when you look at the cement footing,
yes,
is it visual to your naked eye? Like, do you actually see the footing? Do you see any cracking in the footing?
No.
Okay. Is the wood straight on the footing, or there's some type of a barrier between the wood and the concrete?
No, they seem to be pretty straight on the cement.
Okay, so that's a common. This is a common mistake that is done. Usually, you don't want wood to touch cement. The reason being is because with time, cement is humid and the wood would rot.
Okay.
That is very common to find at the bottom of posts starting to rot with time, simply because we did not create a proper barrier between the two. You know, that's something that's worth looking into. The other thing that you might also want to look into is, you know, the size of your carport vis-a-vis the size of the beams that you have installed. So if there's no rot, if the footing was made well made, because you know, doing a cement base is not really a footing. Let's just understand each other. Footing is something that you want to dig deep, especially outside. You want to go below frost line. Because you don't want it to crack or move or so on and so forth. So the other thing you want to do, like now the weather is getting nice, dig around the cement footing or the cement base and see how deep it goes. If you find it doesn't go deep enough, that means you don't have the proper foundation for it. And your posts are sitting on something that is moving, that is sinking, that might be cracking with time, and so on and so forth. And that would need to be addressed. Better address it now before it actually creates more movement and then create more damages, especially if it's attached to an existing roof to your house. It's easier that we do it under our own rules and our own time schedule. You could do it by section. That means by post. You don't have to, you know, could temporarily support each post and then do it and then get it done right. But definitely when we see something that is load-bearing and it's moving, it's always cause for concern, okay? There's weight on top of load-bearing things. And, you know, when they move, that means there's something that is not sitting right.
Right. Okay, so with other words, I have to dig down the posts and see if it's solid, you know, in the ground.
Well, that's one thing to that will take care of looking at the footing that your wood is sitting on top. But you also want to look at how everything is anchored. It's a bit more complicated than that. But we start with the easy things first, right? So if things are properly fastened, are they carrying, are they placed on the right, in the right areas, and so on and so forth. But that always starts with the easy stuff. And then we'll go to a bit more exploratory openings at a later date,
I mean, I didn't really notice, you know, over the years that the posts in any way are cracked or moved. I mean, the footing, I mean, you know, it seems to be always the same all those years, you know, 10 years or more, you know. So,
yes. But here's the thing, when it comes to structure, we don't necessarily, if a structure is done inadequately, not to say badly, it doesn't show necessarily in a year or 2 years or 3 years. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes we go to homes and the structure was badly done for 30 years or 40 years, and all of a sudden stuff starts to move and shake and crack and so on and so forth. You know, it might not be the footing. The footing might be well done. Yeah. But you just told me that your wood beam is right on a concrete, which is with no barrier. So that by itself is a reason for concern, because the bottom of that post may have rotted and you don't know it. And now, you know, it's getting a bit shorter with that rot and weaker. And then things are starting to move. That's another option, you know. Or sometimes, again, like we said, you might need these posts to be reinforced. You don't have enough both for the weight of the roof above it. And we have to look at the size of the carport. We have to look at many things.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, you might need to beef it up. But again, that's something that we would have to see visually to tell you, tell you for sure. Keep an eye on it, I said, and, you know, look at the easy stuff first, and then we'll go by a process of elimination afterwards.
Okay. All right.
How's that, Warner?
Okay, thanks very much.
Oh, thank you for calling in.
Okay, thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much. 514-790-0800 to talk to Walter and get some free advice here on the Home Improvement Show. Again, 514-790-0800. A couple of texts I have to throw at you, Walter, in just a couple of minutes. And as well, Isabella is around the corner. And Isabella, we're going to get to your call in Greenfield Park in just a second. But right now,
you might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
On a rainy Saturday morning, thank you for joining us here on the Home Improvement Show. Our number for you to get on the air and ask your question is 514-790-0800. The number Isabella dialed. Hi, Isabella.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling about my chimney.
Yes.
I called you before this COVID thing, and you said to call your company. I called your company. I left my name and address. Nobody called me back. But now I see that it's in bad shape right now. It needs fixing.
All right.
Okay, what's wrong with your chimney?
You know, the top part of the chimney where you have the outside, it's leaking. You can see water coming in.
Okay. Is the brick eroding or the chimney cap?
It's the brick eroding, yeah.
Okay. Fine. So, I mean, obviously, you would need to address the bricks, change the rotted bricks, and repoint.
I call all different companies, and because it's a small job, everybody promised to come, nobody show up.
Well, let me tell you, there's multiple facet issues happening in the industry, like every other industry. So I will prioritize it for you next week. I'll just, you know, leave your number off the air and I will get someone to assist you with that. But other companies, I mean, the fact of the matter, especially in bricks and roofs and all the exterior work, there are lack of labor in the industry. There are COVID supply chain issues that are wreaking havoc on contractor schedules and backlogs and so on and so forth. So that's probably that's another reason why you probably other companies are, you know, taking long to get back to you and so on and so forth. We will try to assist you with that. Obviously, the moral of the story here is when it comes to chimneys and fireplaces, that's one of the first areas where brick and mortar tend to erode,
right?
Because of its constant contact with the snow and the ice, so on and so forth. Do not wait until it erodes. Just keep an eye on it, and because when you wait until it erodes, you know, we're not really saving money. We're starting. We're
no,
actually
no. I'm not trying to save
more money.
I've been trying to find someone to fix
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll leave your number off air, and we'll see what we can how we can help you and assist you. In getting this done.
Very good. Isabella, don't hang up, all right? Matt's going to take your full name and your number down, all right?
Thank you very much.
Okay, let me put you on hold. Very good. 922. Walter, can I throw something at you from the text line?
Of course.
All right. 514-800, by the way, is the text line. And the number to call is 514-790-0800. It says, good morning, guys. My daughter just purchased a condo. The bathroom does not have a full shower door, but only a glass partition that only covers three quarters of the shower. So the water, of course, is escaping. I need to buy a shower door. Any advice as to how to approach this purchase?
Okay. So, I mean, let's be careful with I need to. You might not need to buy a shower door. If you do have a glass panel and if it's correctly done, that's going to be something is very important. It's very much in style to have glass panels rather than glass shower doors for many reasons. It's more practical. You keep you keep a space. You don't have to open. You don't have to close. The mechanisms do not fail, and so on and so forth.
But Walter, how do you keep the water? How do you keep the water from escaping though? With that, you know, it's maybe a 2 feet opening.
Well, that's what I'm getting to when I'm saying if it's correctly done. Usually this area, the bathroom, the shower should be extremely well membraned that, you know, even if the water goes on the floor adjoining, there's a Ditra and it should be watertight. But furthermore, if it's a stepless shower, mm-hmm. it's supposed to have been sloped in a way that the water does not actually slip out or get out of the shower enclosure.
Right.
It have to be properly slanted. If it's not, I agree, it's a situation, it's messy, you have to constantly clean it and mop it. But it shouldn't really, if you slope it well and plan it well. It's very good, it's very practical, once it's done well. In the case where it's not being done well, maybe she should contemplate, the easier solution for her would be to do a glass shower door. Mm-hmm. Basically, especially if it's an odd type of a measurement, meaning it's not a standard size,
right?
You need to call a glass shop and they will do it for you custom. And then, you know, you could do it as high as you want and, you know, as long as you want in this case. If you want to buy it off the rack, you are unfortunately very restricted with the sizes that they would have. So if your shower is taller or bigger or what have you, you can't get that out of just the standard shower. If it's, let's say, 60 inch is very common, and you will find many, many different models and styles, even at the big box stores. So it's not really a big deal.
Is this just a current trend with just putting the glass partition, or have you seen that for a while now with the condominiums?
We've seen that, you know, as soon as these stepless shower systems came, we're starting to see it a lot more.
Yeah.
And you know, it's because, truth be told, with time, glass shower doors, you have the, you know, you have to change the, you have to change, you have to keep on maintaining it, and so on and so forth. You know, once you have a glass panel, it's just there and you don't have to worry about it. It's great. You know, plus it's more pleasing to the eye, right?
Yeah.
Because it looks like, you know, it looks bigger. You don't feel enclosed. The condensation escapes better from the shower. There's many different reasons why it's picking up and it's trendy. But again, the shower have to be done right. If it's not sloped right and you don't use the right kits and so on and so forth, make sure that your contractor, if let's say they're using a Schluter system, make sure that they show you their certification. Not because they watch it on YouTube, they know how to do it. Schluter have an academy, for example. The guys have to go there. We send our guys there to get certified. They get training. Every time there's a new product, they get recertified and so on and so forth. That's what you see more often than not, that people use a system. They have the great intentions, but they don't have the proper training. So they miss a step or they do something not right. And then you have issues like that, unfortunately.
Walter, one other benefit too of the glass partition, there's less to clean.
Oh my God, yeah, that's probably the number one benefit.
The shower door, that's a job and a half sometimes when you have to clean it after a while. 514-790-0800 if you want to get some free advice from Walter Assey from Renovco, here, give us a call at 514-790-0800. We have one more from the text line. Walter, I only have 2 minutes though, so I'm going to put you on the clock here. It says, my toilet does not keep water level in the bowl, I'm on a septic system. What could this be from? What could be causing this? My toilet doesn't keep the water level in the bowl.
Well, you do have a slow leak somewhere. It's that's, you know, it's probably one of the mechanisms inside the toilet tank gasket or something. It's not a big deal. You could probably try to change the gasket or adjust the flush system. You know, when she opens the tank, if she hears any water escaping or any, it's actually hard to, I would have had to ask her a few questions, but usually it's a slow leak from somewhere and, you know, you could just fix the gasket and you'll be fine.
Very good. All right. Look, news is getting set to go here, and we'll get you up to date from the CJAD 800 newsroom. And then we'll come back with another full half hour with Walter Assey from Renovco. So if you have a question, call us now and grab a line at 514-790-0800.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Use one of those hands to grab an umbrella if you're heading out the door. We have rain in the forecast all day today and tomorrow as well, unfortunately. It's 9:36. Our phone number here on the Home Improvement Show is 514-790-0800. Lucky to have Walter Assey from Renovco to answer your calls and all his years of experience. That was me just hitting the microphone. Don't worry. Walter, again from the text line at 514-800. It's from Kathy on Bay Durfe. She says they want to add a little new look to their home and a couple of the rooms downstairs. They want to add crown molding. Is there a right and wrong way to install crown molding?
When we're receiving texts, if we can get sometimes a bit more info, that will always be good. Yeah. That's why I like when it's a bit more interactive. I can ask questions and so on and so forth. Like, just to go back on the toilet issue, I would have typically, with the previous texter, I would have typically answer the question on the age of her toilet, because if, let's say, for example, the toilet is 30 years or 40 years old, sometimes that could happen if you have like those fine cracks in the porcelain and it's a slow leak simply because the toilet is old and, you know. And then I would have asked her another question about if it's seasonal, because a lot of the times if the vent pipe on the roof is blocked due to snow or ice or anything like that, that also could have caused that problem. So it always have, if let's say we're going to text to give a bit more info, There's no right or wrong way to install crown moldings. It's just a cut between each and every one that is important. Do not go with a 45 cut. The size of it is important. Sometimes if you have, you know, if you put something massive in a very short ceiling, it doesn't look right. Mm-hmm. It's really, when it comes to crown molding, it's a preparation that is important before you paint. So the cuts, you know, the caulking that you do and so on and so forth, just to have a nice, a clean look. There are, you know, the possibilities. I mean, depends also what kind of product she's using. I mean, right now there's MDF, there's wood, there's polymer, there's many different products that you could use as well. So there's no really right or wrong way. It's just a question of how you do your cuts and so on and so forth. The size of it for cosmetic reasons, mostly, but that's pretty much it.
Okay. Back to the phone here. We go to Longueuil for Edward. Edward, good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I'd like to talk to Walter about a toilet tank problem.
Mm-hmm.
It was just filling up, and it started motorboating, you know, like a ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, and my toilet bowl tank cracked. Any solution for that?
So you had like a hammering?
Yeah, a kind of a hammering. I was lucky. It was when I was in the washroom, and I managed to turn off the water and drain it, you know. But it's cracked. The tank is cracked. Any chances of cement or anything that can hold it together?
Well, hold it together when it comes to a porcelain tank. There's epoxy glues and stuff, but I would not take a chance, because if you're not home and that thing fails again, you're in a whole world of trouble. Mm-hmm. The most important, I mean, these are the things that you really don't want to take chances with. You could, right. You know, see if you have the part just to buy the toilet tank, if the toilet is not old, mm-hmm. instead of buying the whole toilet, and that would be cheaper for you. But right. Ensure that that you have some type of a water hammer arrestor, maybe on the shutoff valve of the toilet, so it doesn't happen again. This is one of the consequences of water hammering. Yeah. Beside the fact that the noise is very irritating and you know, it gets to you, it's the fact that with time, with all that shaking and vibrations, pipes mm-hmm. could let go, tanks could break, and so on and so forth. So it's important that you fix it. Luckily, it doesn't always happen right away that you have that happen, but don't push your luck. So when there's a water hammering, you should try to zero in on it and fix it. It's not really, in a lot of cases, it's an easy fix.
Is there a water?
So in your case before, mm-hmm. sometimes it's water hammering. It has to do with the air in the pipe, right? So there, when something stops, and that you have all that pressure that comes and it hits the, and there's air in the pipes, you have that knocking noise. So, right. You know, when you do an air water hammer arrester, that will, you know, usually to install it, it's not very, it's not very complicated. You shut off the supply system. And then you install it, but you want to also make sure that you flush the toilets, you empty the pipes from the air and so on and so forth. It is not necessarily the washer. Mm-hmm. In the toilet, it might be, a lot of times we see that the shutoff valve itself, you know, needs to be, how old is your shutoff valve?
It's about, but I've changed the rubber valve, you know, the one that rises and the water drains and it comes back. What do you call that rubber valve?
Yeah, okay, so you change that and...
Yeah,
okay.
I changed it, I put a new one, and this happened.
But how... How old is...
Yeah, it's from the 80s. 85 when the 80s. Condo was built.
Okay. And the shutoff valve itself, how old is it?
What is the shutoff valve?
The valve next to the toilet that you shut off. Yeah.
Yeah, the stem with the ball that adjusts the ball and all that. Is that the one?
No, it's the valve that you shut off next to the toilet. It's where the water supply comes in.
Oh, okay, yeah. That I haven't changed. It's the old one.
Yeah. So again, common mistake. These things, believe it or not, the manufacturer have lifetime on these things. So right. So shut off valves and I mean for many reasons, because you also don't want it to fail and so on and so forth. But that's one thing that if it's original to the build,
right,
it's time that you address that and you change that. And more often than not, that is a source of a problem in the toilet. And again, it's an easy fix. It's a fast fix. But when I do that, I would look at all my shut off valves, because they're probably all the same age anyways, and I will change them all at the same time underneath the sinks and the toilets and so on and so forth.
And the washer, the rubber washer that is on top of the stem, you know, with the ball that adjusts the ball up and down, is that valve shuts the water and opens? Is that a problem? Do I have to change the rubber?
Well, I mean, anything. Well, I mean, we don't have to change everything. You have to go by process of elimination, right?
Okay.
So you go one by one, and rather than because sometimes it's just one thing and if that doesn't work, then we go to the second thing. I just don't want you, first and foremost, ensure that the water hammering issue is solved. Get yourself a new tank. Do not try to glue the tank. The damage that this will cause is going to cost you a lot more than the new tank. That's the bottom line.
Right.
And it's not really worth it.
Where do I go for a tank that can match the bowl,
Yes, that's correct. And a lot of times you would find, if it's a common bowl, you would find. If not, I mean, even getting an economy toilet is better than having a glued up tank attached to your toilet. It's not really, this tank holds water all the time.
Right.
And again, with the vibration, you're sitting on it, you're lying on it sometimes. So there are many things that could go wrong.
Right.
I would just like you to take that seriously, because, especially if you're not home, if that thing gives away, it can really create a lot of problems.
Yeah. But after that,
and then the other part is an insurance claim comes with an investigation. So if they come and they see there was negligence from your part and you've kind of taped a toilet tank together, there is this chance where they won't cover you. And, it's just too much things at stake that you don't need to necessarily deal with.
How's that, Edward?
Very good. But when I leave, I shut the valve for the water and drain the water and then leave home for now, because I just taped it.
Yep.
But I will try to get a new tank.
All right, good.
Now, just make sure that you empty the tank as well, because there's still water in that tank and it still can cause a lot of damage.
Yeah, I do that.
Right. Okay.
Edward, thank you for the call and have a great weekend.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Bye-bye.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
It is indeed. Ken Connors alongside Walter Assey from Renovco, answering your calls and your questions. And you can talk to him right now by dialing 514-790-0800. Again, 514-790-0800. Again, from the text line, Walter. Don in Ahuntsic. Let me see if I can read this off the text board. There it is. Looking to install some flooring in my laundry room, looking for something that's not too expensive and resilient and easy to clean. What do you recommend? A laundry room flooring.
Yeah. So I would if something not expensive, warm and water resistant, I would say vinyl PVC flooring.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great product. It looks nice. It's easy to fix as well. In case you have an issue with it, you just unclick it and reclick it. It's reusable in many cases as well. So it's a very resilient floor. It have a cork backing for comfort and warmth. And And it's really popular these days. Plus, it's very trendy. It, you know, sometimes you have inexpensive, good quality material, but it's not trendy. It doesn't look good. This product looks amazing. There's many different ways to, or many different products, types of products, I should say.
Yeah.
Ones that are click, others that you have to glue as well. But you, what you want in a laundry room, you want something that is waterproof. You want something that is comfortable to stand on. You want something that is warm in most cases, because, you know, let's face it, most laundry rooms are in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And you want something resilient as well. This type of flooring will give you, will check all of these boxes for you. The only downside with it is you can't put any heated floors underneath it.
Okay. Walter, is it a crack resistant?
It is crack resistant. The only other downside to it, you have to have a floor that is fairly level. If you don't, then the joints would open. So in a basement, if you have a subfloor and you know, and it's, it doesn't look very very level, or even if you're doing it on a slab, then in this case, what you want to do is you want to put self-leveling cement, just ensure that you have the level that you need before you install that that product.
Another question, Walter, for you is I guess the importance of a well-functioning bathroom vent fan, because I guess, from what I understand, if the bathroom is not ventilated properly, I mean, aside from comfort, that can lead to mold, can't it?
It can definitely lead to mold. When it comes to fans, there's many things to look at, not just the fact that we have a fan. We want to ensure the fan is vented to the outside adequately, whether through the roof or the side of the house. A lot of times we see that there are vents just as a decoration in the ceiling with no ducting attached to it. So that does nothing. And as a matter of fact, it does you more harm than good. So you're better off not using it and opening up the window. You need also to look at the size of the fan, the CFM, and how powerful it is for the size of the room. If you have a 10 by 15 bathroom and you have a small PCI, you know, CFM, like 50 CFM or something, that doesn't do very well for you. So you want to get a stronger fan that will ensure it's going to suck all that humidity and the condensation out of the bathroom. What we need to understand is relative humidity, as soon as it's over 60%, just the air itself, the humidity in the air will create you mold spores. That's why we see in bathrooms that are not well vented, we see them on the ceramic, on the grout, on the gibrock itself, on the drywall. It's because it's not necessarily coming from inside the structure all the time. It's just that you've created so much humidity in the air that the spores are forming. So you're in anything you do, whether you're in the kitchen boiling pasta, or whether you are, watering your plants, or whether you are in the bathroom taking long showers, just ensure that you have the proper ventilation and flush the air out. The fan, the trick with the fan is use it 15 minutes after the shower as well. If you're going to just come take your shower and as soon as you leave the room, you're going to flick it off, it's not going to do its job. So you need to at least have it on a timer for 15 minutes after your shower ends.
All right. Walter, just to wrap up, I have about 2 minutes here, but I mean, tomorrow is the first day of spring. Is this traditionally, I guess, a busy time with a lot of calls and the concern over flooding every year?
We get, unfortunately, the calls that we get now are because it's too late. People have seen the water. Hmm. Usually the ones that are a bit more experienced, or the homeowner is a bit more experienced, we get the calls end of summer and the autumn. And they are really doing the preventive measures. Now the calls that we're getting are mostly because water is actively coming in, and now they're looking to find the... In the spring, I mean, in this time of the year, you know, a lot of things, example, roofing, cement, excavation, anything that have to do, it's very difficult to fix at this time of the year. That's why we say always try to be preemptive. There are ways that we mitigate the risk to kind of minimize the damages, but it's nowhere near getting it done the right way. That's that'll cost you more, because now you're going to pay for something just to kind of minimize the risk now, and then you have to fix it later on when, you know, the beginning summer, end of spring. So that's really, I mean, we're also the typical business right now is people designing and doing kitchens and bathrooms and basements and all kind of things. And this is proving to be a crazy year again, in a good way. We're obviously overloaded with that, but that's what's keeping us busy these days.
All right. Walter Assey from Renovco. Walter, thank you again for a terrific hour, and we'll talk to you next Saturday morning. Is it a deal?
Looking forward, bud. Looking forward.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. We're looking at news coming up in just a couple of minutes from the CJAD 800 newsroom. And then it's our Saturday morning from 11 to noon. We've got Kelly in the Montreal Eats. And then, of course, right around the corner, your car questions and car issues with Lisa and the Car Show. That's coming up next.